Let us pray. Gracious God, may we place our treasure in you, for our hearts are truly restless until they rest in you. Amen. Please be seated.
Jesus, I just don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you, I just don't.
I have an exercise that I think will really help you.
Oh, okay.
Stand here and face this direction. Mm-hmm. Now, do you trust me?
No, I just said I don't trust you.
All right, well, this is all part of the exercise.
Oh,
all right.
Right. Okay.
Whenever I ask you if you trust me, you say, yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Even though I don't.
It's practice.
Okay.
So, do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Are you going to catch me?
Don't worry about that part.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust
Good.
You. Yes, I do trust you. I'm going to fall
back.
Woo!
Oh, okay.
That's great.
Okay. Let's try this again. Just face this direction and keep your feet planted, all right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm really going to do it.
Okay. Good.
Ah! Oh, Jesus, you really caught me! I didn't think you were going to catch me, but you did!
Oh, that was great!
That was great!
You're ready for level two!
Level two, here
yes.
I come, baby! Woo!
No.
Whoa!
Okay, hold it.
Oh, you know what? You're too close. You need to move back.
Ah, right.
Okay.
This one's a little bit different, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Stand here.
Uh-huh.
But face me.
Forward fall. Okay. I can do that.
Wait.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait for my signal.
Oh, right. The Jesus signal.
Yes. The okay. Jesus signal. Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus. I trust you so much.
Good. Fall back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Especially when you do it.
Seriously?
Of course.
Okay, Jesus. I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nobody over there.
I know it looks that way to you.
Way. It is that way.
You can do this, Laura. Just trust me and fall back.
Jesus, I can't do that.
We can do it together.
I can't.
You can.
I won't.
We are called to step out in faith. It really wouldn't be faith if we already knew the outcome. This particular week of the second week of August is always one that brings special memories to me. Because when I was little, it was always the week that we went on family vacation. My father would take the week off from work. And with seven kids, we would all pile in to the family station wagon and off we would go. The little interesting twist was many years we didn't know where we were going to go. We would pack our suitcases for a week and we would get into the car and we would drive to the top of our street. And my father would put the car in park and refuse to go any further till Mom said, "Where do you want to go?" And we really didn't know, nor did they. If we went left, we might go down to the Lake of the Ozarks. If we went to the right, we might go north to Wisconsin Dells or something like that from the Midwest in St. Louis. But we really didn't know, and you know, we really didn't care. Because it was just the fact that my father was off work for an entire week, and the whole family was going to be together. We did not know what we would be doing or where, but we knew we were going to have fun. There is an image there for me of what faith is about. Frederick Buechner, the great theologian and author, writes this: "Faith is more of a process than a possession, more on again, off again, than once and for all. Faith is not being sure where you're going, but going anyway. A journey without maps. This is the journey to which Jesus continues to invite us. A journey where we are called sometimes to fall backward, not seeing that there is anyone visibly there. A couple great stories are used to illustrate this. One is the boy who's in the burning building with the smoke beneath him. His father, the firefighter, says, "Son, jump." And the boy says, "Dad, I can't see you." But the father replies, "Son, I can see you." The story of the man who was the tightrope walker, who was with a huge crowd assembled doing a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And the people say before he goes, "We believe you can do this, we believe." And so he does it. And he comes back and then pulls out a wheelbarrow and says, "Do you believe I can cross Niagara Falls with the wheelbarrow?" And they all say, "Yes, we believe, we believe." So he says, "Okay, who would like to get in the wheelbarrow?" Faith is that call that we have to jump out a bit into the unknown. And perhaps the question we need to ask ourselves is, when in my life have I ever done something that was truly based on faith and faith alone? That there was no way I knew the outcome other than I trusted in God because I felt that God was calling me to go. It is this call that we celebrate when we hear that beautiful passage from Hebrews. Abraham, our father in faith, called to go without knowing where he was headed, but on the reassurance of God, he goes. And there's something very significant in that reading also, where we are told by the author of Hebrews that not only Abraham, but those who came after did not live to see the promise fulfilled. It was only from a distance that they had enough of a hint that they had a fulfillment in their life. Some of you know that I spent some years as a travel director, and one of the most exotic trips was to escort people on photographic safaris in Kenya. And there we got to observe all of God's creation and the wildlife, and there were many of these gazelles and impalas that would just run through the wilderness, and they could jump 10 feet, some of them 30 feet high they could jump. It was amazing. And one particular time, one of the local guides took us to what we would call a zoo, where they had some of these animals, these impalas and these gazelles, but the fence that contained them was only 3 feet high. Now, just thinking logically, these animals can jump 10 to 30 feet, and you've got them in a 3-foot fence enclosure, why don't they just jump and go away? And the man said, "An impala will not jump if it cannot see where it would land." Perhaps there is an image there of faith for us once again. The call that we have sometimes to jump into the unknown on the reassurance of God that God will guide us. This particular gospel that we hear continues from last week and carries on a very similar theme of trust and faith. If you recall last week, we looked at this passage where the man says, "Tell them to give me my share of the inheritance." And we saw that in the Old Testament, the oldest son got 2/3, the younger son got 1/3. And Jesus uses the occasion to preach about watching out for greed. And we use that to look at how we are called not to wait, but to use every moment that we have to grab for the blessings God has for us. This week is no exception to that. When that story ends, Jesus turns from this man and then turns to his disciples, and metaphorically turns to us today as well. And he says to them, I don't want you to worry either about your life. In the other synoptic gospels, this is that passage where he says, look at the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Look how much God cares for them, and they're just plants and animals. How much more is God going to take care of you? And so he goes on and he tells them this little parable. This story of the man and the slaves, the master of the house has gone off to a wedding banquet. Now, to understand this, remember that wedding banquets in those days weren't the usual 3-hour open bar and then everybody goes home. They could go on for days. And those slaves would be expected to be ready whenever the master was to come home, because you didn't know when he'd become stumbling down the path. And when he did, he would want to have the gate open so that he could go inside and go to bed. So Jesus says, keep your lamps lit, be ready. Now the twist in the parable is that we would expect that those who were not ready were going to be punished, and so that was the rationale for you wanting to be ready. But the rationale is quite different from what Jesus says. I want you to be ready and have your lamps lit. Why? Because when the master comes home, the gates will be open and the master is going to wait on you. Totally turns it around. You would expect, well, I'm going to have to put the luggage away. I'm going to have to wash his clothes. I'm going to have to get him something to eat and drink. But the master is going to come home and wait on me. It is a similar thing to what we saw last week. These warnings to be ready, to be awake, to be willing to fall backwards on faith is not a threat or a warning from Jesus. It is because I want you to live the kingdom to its fullness. And only when you are willing to do that will you experience that grace and those blessings. There is a story I ran across that I think brings this point home. It is told of a blacksmith. He worked hard at his trade, and the day came for him to die. So God sent his angel to the blacksmith, but to the angel's surprise, the blacksmith refused to go to heaven. He pleaded with the angel, I'm the only blacksmith in this village, and it's time for all the neighbors to begin their planting and sowing. They need me. Well, the blacksmith did not want to appear to be ungrateful, and he was looking forward to a place in God's kingdom, but he pleaded, could we just put this off for a while? So the angel went and pleaded the blacksmith's case before God, and God agreed. Sometime later, after the harvest, the angel returned to bring the blacksmith to heaven. But again, he requested, can we delay this a little more? A neighbor of mine is seriously ill, and it's time for the harvest. A number of us are trying to save his crops so his family won't be destitute. Please tell God I'm grateful for his blessings to me, but could you come for me a little later? And the angel returned to heaven. Well, this got to be a pattern, time after time. Every time the angel would come to bring the faithful blacksmith to heaven, he would shake his head and have some reason why he needed to be delayed, because he had to help someone else on earth. Finally, the blacksmith grew very old and very tired, and he finally prayed to God to send the angel to bring him to heaven. Immediately, the angel appeared. If you still want to take me home, I'm ready to live forever in God's kingdom. The angel laughed. He looked at the blacksmith with delight and surprise. Where do you think you've been all these years? When we are called to fall backward, may we be bold, may we be courageous, so that we can experience the blessings. Amen.